the grapes. If there was one grape that was known as the grape of Spain, here it is. Tempranillo. This is an early ripener, and it's grown all around Spain with different names such as Tinto Fino, Tinto del País, Tinta del Toro, Ul de Levra, and Sensibel. And in Portugal, Tinta Roriz. It's a grape that is sensitive to drought and wind, which makes it an odd one as so much of Spain is parched in the summer. And yet, it thrives. Outside of Iberia, it rarely shows up, although there's some grown on granitic soil in the Sierra Nevada foothills and in Australia. Garnacha, or Grenache, however you want to call it, is everywhere in warm climates, from France to Australia. It zooms to high alcohol all too quickly, and traditional vintages, such as Châteauneuf du Pape, relied on other grapes, including some whites, to balance it out. Here, too, blending has been traditional, using grapes like Mazuelo, also known as Carriena or Carignan, and the white grapes of Malvasia and white Grenache. The deeply colored and perfumed Graziano, like Carignan, is another acid protector, though perhaps a little dull on its own. Martuana Tinto, Bastardo in Portugal and Trousseau in the Jura, is a minor player. White wines used to be made here, and they were fascinating. These were long-aged whites from Viura, a.k.a. Macabeo and Malvasia. You can still find the real McCoy in those from Lopez de Heredia. God bless them. They're the only ones serving up the tastes of the past. Their whites age longer than their reds, and so do their rosés. Their Gran Reserva, for example, is aged 10 years in American oak and 9 years in the bottle. For those expecting fresh fruit flavors, forget it. Instead, you'll find a nutty, caramelized, spicy number. Historically, the Riojan bodegas released their wines only when they were ready to drink. This is less so now, and the long aging rules have been relaxed, though some traditional bodegas like Lopez de Heredia still follow the traditional classifications. The code for the red wines are as follows. 1. Joven, a new wine, emphasis on freshness. 2. Crianza, wines that are at least in their third year, having spent a minimum of 1 year in casks. For white wines, the minimum cask aging period is 6 months. 3. Reserva, selected wines of the best vintages with an excellent potential that have been aged for a minimum of 3 years, with at least 1 year in casks. 4. Gran Reserva, selected wines from exceptional vintages which have spent at least 2 years in oak casks and 3 years in the bottle. For white wines, the minimum aging period is 4 years, with at least 1 year in casks. Who to drink? Lopez de Heredia, sustainable. Contino, organic. La Rioja Alta, conventional. Onario Rubio, sustainable. Viña Alusión, organic. Acutain, organic. Abel Mendoza, organic. Olivier Rivera, organic. In general, anything prior to the 1990 vintage is worth giving a try. So why spend this much time on a region with so many modern wines? Because it all matters. The soils, the climate, the history. Rioja will rise again. Silex, Flint. There's an awful lot of silex, commonly known as flint or chert, in the eastern central part of the Loire. Certainly in Montlouis-sur-Loire and Vouvray, but especially where Sauvignon Blanc is grown in Pouilly-Fumé and Sancerre. In Sancerre, it makes up 15% of the landscape, mostly located closer to the Loire River on the east side of that hilly and complex appellation. Some people believe that this addition to mostly limestone soils gives the wines their extra smokiness. Try them from Alexandra Ben Dagenau and Jonathan Pabio in Pouilly-Fumé, Sebastian Riffo, Domaine Vacheron, Domaine Vaton, and Vincent Gaudry, and try to imagine the smell of a knife being drawn from a warrior's side. It is from the Sauvignon Blanc on silex I get white truffles and peaches and a distinct minerality, Gaudry says. From his flintier soils, he claims he gets a blend of sweet earth and fruit aromas with a strong lingering vibrancy, a kind of fruit in the wine that needs to be teased out. But is it true? Pascaline had this to say. The Flintstone silex, which can make the soil quite bright or give it a soft orange hue, often gets the credit for giving wines flint-like aromas. I can agree with that. Take Chenin on silex, like in Vouvray with Philippe Foreau or François Pinon, who has his cuvées named after his soils, including a silex noir, whose wines have a distinct smoked salt, gunpowder element. The flavors might be due to the heat absorption by the Flintstones in the sun. There's also more silex down southwest, north of Toulouse, in the town of Fronton, which is known for currently inexpensive wines made from Nigrette, Domaine Laroc, and Chateau Plaisance. Shale, mudstone. The somewhat secret terroir of shale might be threatened by the increasing use of fracking, but some damned interesting soils have this strange rock that you can almost watch in transition. The Finger Lakes in upstate New York might be fighting off the shale rigs to keep their vines safe, and so far, fingers crossed, they are beginning to deliver on the promise of this remarkable, cool climate area. 11 narrow lakes stretch out like the fingers on a hand. On their steep banks, once covered with American grapes like Concord, Delaware, and Catawba, now grow vinifera. Herman J. Weimer has been working well up in those parts. Element Winery, Bellwether, Nathan Kendall, and Shaw Vineyard are also worth looking into. Seek out Bloomer Creek for the most unadulterated expression of Riesling, Cabernet Franc, and soon, Chenin. One of the most amazing shale soils I've seen was high in the Santa Cruz Mountains on Mount Eden in the Martin Ray Vineyard. This was the site of one of the first plantings of Pinot Noir in the United States. Now, the duo of Arnaud Roberts, a Sonoma-based winery, is making some remarkable, savory Pinot Noirs from this very historical site. Of special note is Italy's Tuscan region of Montalcino, the land where the special clone of Sangiovese, called Sangiovese Grosso, becomes the famed Brunello wine. I was with Francesca Padovani, who farms and makes a wine called Fonteresa with her twin sister, Margherita. We were walking in one of their vineyards on a powerfully sunny day when she pulled me over to a hillside and started to flake away at the rock, and a storm of papery shards started to fall, not unlike schists, which would have been the next step into metamorphosis. Galestro, she said of the soil that had been baked in the Tuscan sun until it turned into brittle, friable mineral sheets. Makers of Brunello you want to look for are the Fonteresa, Cerbaiono, the breathtakingly priced Soldera, and Stella di Campalto. There is a related, although confusing relative up north in the odd clay and limestone soils of Friuli in the subregion called the Friuli Colli Orientali region, so close to Slovenia. The place, a famous one for a cluster of intriguing winemakers, is called Oslavia. One of them is Radikan. Sasha Radikan, the son of the late, widely loved vintner Stenko, is a good-natured man with a brittle brush of a haircut. With dinner cooking upstairs, he took me down to the cellar. There, in back of the huge barrels where wines were aging up, was a wall of mud and clay, or what looked like it. It was mudstone that was way harder to touch than it looked. Soils of this kind have the ability to hold and release great amounts of water. Many of the wines in Friuli are from Merlot and another red grape called Refosco, which is thought to make a sturdy red wine, especially when paired with soils that appear to be from many eons later in time, breakable slats of sandstone. Where shale will break into sheets, these mudstones will break horizontally. Their whites are Sauvignon, Tokaj Friulano, Malvasia, Pinot Grigio, and Ribolla Gala. Over the past 20 years, white wines made from skin contact, white wines made like red wines, which emerge with an orange or amber color, have become increasingly familiar. You'll want to look for the wines of Radikan, Josko Grosvenor, Damian Proversis, and Dario Princic. Heavy clay. Abruzzo is in the Midlands east of Italy. It starts at the Adriatic Sea and then reaches west to the Apennines. The soils are derived from calcareous clay, with the emphasis on clay. I was in the fine vineyards of Emidio Pepe, a prime example of the specific soils in the Terrano Nuovo. It was 2014, long regarded as a flood year of unparalleled proportions. While the season just past harvest dried out the soils like quicksand and then became as hard as cement. Working those soils? Intense. But the structure of the wine's Emidio Pepe extracts? Noble. While much of Abruzzo is known for wines that are to be drunk and perhaps not that important, Pepe's wines defy the reputation and show what the soils, paired with the right grapes, can become. These are long-lived wines, both whites and reds. The white grapes the area is known for are Trebbiano and Pecorino. The former silky, the latter gritty, and of course the Monte Pulciano d'Abruzzo is the red grape. Gravels. Bordeaux. The Romans planted the first vines in Bordeaux about 2,000 years ago, and the area in the southwest of France has defined fine wine ever since. But starting from the 1600s, when the Dutch shipping merchants expanded the vineyard area by draining the swamp to reveal more of its esteemed terroir, and the British thirst for their claret was unquenchable, their star has mostly risen. Today, the top wines of the region have been increasingly associated with commodities. Like stock or any investment, they are bought for resale value. That is a tragedy and has nearly castrated the region's soul. The region is separated into left and right banks, depending on which side of the Gironde estuary they sit. The scene was set back in 1855, when properties on the left bank in the greater area now called the Médoc, the Grave and the Sauternes, from where these sweet Sauternes come from, were given growth status, as in first to fifth. These were given to landowners, chateaus with their vines around the property, not to the villages or vineyards themselves, as in other regions. In the past 50 years, these special properties have become increasingly commercial and only now on the verge of changing their farming practice and questioning their modernization, but mostly just not worthy. However, they are historical. The region is historical. The land is the reason Cabernet Sauvignon and Blanc and Merlot are so ubiquitous and mimicked the world over. All passionate wine drinkers need to know the basics here. The netherworld between the left and right bank is the Entre deux Mers, known mostly for whites of Sauvignon Blanc. On the right bank, the eastern side of the Dordogne, are the villages of Pomerol and Saint-Emilion. Lesser-known regions where you can stumble on some respectful wines include Fronsac, Côte de Castillon, Côte de Blaye, and Côte de Bourg. One can find the bulk of the committed folk doing more of the work in the soil and less of the work in the cellars. On the left bank, you've heard the names. Lafitte Rothschild, Latour, and Mouton Rothschild from the village of Pouillac, Margaux from Margaux, and Haute-Brion from Pessac. Those five are the first growth out of five and are treated as are any blue-chip stock. With stratospheric prices, most mortals will never be able to taste them, and, in my humble opinion, pretty much only the wines pre-1986 are worth lusting for. Since 1982, they've been leaving behind a savory, complex leanness with a compelling somewhereness and creeping toward a California wannabe style of fruit and oak. They've ditched the elegance that made these wines formidable, long-lived, and capable of fascinating evolution. That doesn't mean that today's wine should be ignored. The entire region, with all of its smaller appellations, could use a little love, and there are lovely people working the various soils, and, after all, it's the most famous example of gravel. So, I give you Bordeaux. The dirt. A few miles away from the Atlantic Ocean, in a C-curve in France, is the humid and maritime region. More water influence comes from the Gironde estuary that splits off into tributaries of the Garonne and the Dordogne. I remember on my first visit to the region, a cab driver picking me up in the city of Bordeaux said with derision for the locals, "Swamp people." I was taken aback, but she was clear that she felt her home city of Saint-Emilion was superior. She was, of course, referring to the large part of the Médoc exposed by the Dutch during the Big Drain. The land is varied. It can be flat and boring. It can be rural and peaceful. There can be stretches of green hills, rocky, gravelly soils. The best terroirs are on croupe, little hills, or on slopes and plateaux, especially around the picturesque medieval town of Saint-Emilion, which is directly on Pacific limestone, full of marine fossils. Being in the middle of all those rivers and the retreating Atlantic, the city of Bordeaux and environs is perched above a giant mass of gravel with variations of clay, sand, and, underneath, limestone. But it is the gravel that gets the most play. Gravel provides drainage in this humid and wet climate. The rocks also absorb the heat and allow for better ripening, but the ripening ability and how much clay is in the mix has a lot to do with what grows best. The left bank has more oceanic influences, moderating the warmth in the summer and the cold in the winter. There is more gravel and clay, so more Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. The right bank is more continental with more limestone, better for Cabernet Franc and Merlot. Merlot can grow just about anywhere, just as long as there's clay. The soils are heavier with clay on the right bank, hence more Merlot-heavy wines. Those clay and limestone variations continue through the villages that begin to take on the famed names. The flat 2.5 mile square of Pomerol, famous for Petrus and La Fleur, has clay over limestone and sandy loam with pockets of iron deposits. It is this kind of deposit, referred to as croix de fer, rotted iron, that defines the best wines of the area. The wines can be firm, with delicacy, and when they come from the croix, profound. From the website of Chateau Lafleur comes this explanation. They give the wines a very characteristic flavor of something fat and metallic, which many associate with truffles. A quick ride takes one over to the higher elevation of the picture-perfect town of Saint-Emilion. Heard of Chateau Cheval Blanc, Ausson, or Figeac? There, happy on the limestone, just as it is in the Loire, Cabernet Franc takes dominance. The grapes. Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, the two most famous red grapes in the world, often imitated, come from these humid shores. While other expressions make people happy, I personally appreciate Merlot from the limestone soils of the Alto Adige in Italy. This is their home ground. Both have one parent in common, Cabernet Franc. The other, for Cabernet Sauvignon, is the white Sauvignon Blanc. For Merlot, the other parent, is still a mystery. Cabernet Sauvignon is late ripening, so it needs that longer time on the vine and does better on the poor gravel soils of the left bank. Merlot is mid-ripening, so it does well on the warmer right bank, where it is dominant. The other approved red grapes are Petit Verdot, Malbec, and Carmenere. The main white grapes allowed are Sémillon, Sauvignon Blanc, and Muscadelle, all of which are used for the sweet wines as well as the dry whites. Also allowed, but more rarely seen, are Sauvignon Gris, Uni Blanc, Colombard, and Merlot Blanc. Who to drink? Right bank, Chateau Lagave, Paul Barr, Fronsac, biodynamic, Moulin Pélabri, Fronsac, organic, Chateau Gombaud, Guillot Pomerol, biodynamic, Chateau Bellebrise, Pomerol, organic, Maison Blanche, Moutagne Saint-Emilion, biodynamic, Chateau Mellet, Saint-Emilion, biodynamic, Chateau Fonrock, Saint-Emilion, biodynamic, Pluipuy-Arnaud, Côte de Bordeaux, biodynamic, Chateau Le Puy, Côte de Bordeaux, biodynamic, Chateau Bay Bonhomme Les Tours, Côte de Bordeaux, biodynamic, Chateau La Grolée, Côte de Bourg, biodynamic, Les Trois Petits, Côte de Bourg, organic. Left bank and Grave. Domaine du Jougaret, Saint-Julien, organic. Clos de Jaucaron, Margaux, organic, biodynamic. Chateau Pontet-Canet, Pouillac, organic, biodynamic. Chateau Massereau, Barsac and Grave, organic. Les Closeries des Moussis, Haute-Médoc, organic. Other smaller Bordeaux appellations. Chateau du Champ de Trait, Sainte-Foy, Bordeaux, organic. Chateau Tirpey, Entre-deux-Mers, organic. Jacques Broustet, Chateau Le Marais, Bordeaux, biodynamic. Do not forget the nearby regions, limestone with and without gravel. Château Jean Blanc, Bergerac, biodynamic. Domaine Mout de Billon, Côte de Rat, organic. Eliane d'Arose, Côte de Marmandais, biodynamic. Domaine du Pêche, Bouzet, biodynamic. Clocinière, Cahors, organic. Domaine Cos Maisonneau, Cahors, biodynamic. Clos du Jour, Cahors, organic. Fabien Jouve, Mal de Paris, Cahors, biodynamic. Diatomaceous rock. Another little-known rock that fascinates is diatomaceous rock, or kisugwa. This highly sought-after rock provides one of the main ingredients in water filters, cat litter, and toothpaste, but it can be also great for growing grapes. The sommelier-turned-winemaker Raj Parr illustrated this for me when he took a piece of it from his Santa Rita Hills vineyard and poured water on it. It was like a magic trick. The rock totally absorbed the moisture. White as chalk, diatomite has almost nothing to do with calcium carbonate. Like the latter, it is a marine sedimentary rock, but it's 90% silica from the fossilized bits of diatoms, a type of algae. Thus, diatomaceous soils need a lot of composting to help the vines grow, retain some water, and create humus. There are very few places in the world with this soil, especially in its pure state. Parr's young vineyard in Santa Barbara is full of this magic rock, which might help along his efforts for dry farming in that hot area. And then there's Jerez in Spain. Jerez has the most peculiar, eccentric soils with dazzling shards of what is often called chalk, but this is a blend of limestone with a huge abundance of diatoms. The Spanish call their soil albariza, and it has a remarkable ability to absorb moisture. Ramiro Ibanez Espinar, a consultant in the area, said that all albariza isn't the same, but the content of fossils in the diatoms are essential to the absorption. This is one of those rare parts of the world where those diatoms meet calcium carbonate. Sherry is made in Jerez from the Palomino grape, raised without fear of oxygen in barrels, so flour yeast develops, just as it does in the Jura. After fermentation, the wine is fortified with the addition of neutral spirit. For sherry, be prepared for savory over fruit and open your mouth and enjoy. The wines are marked by great saltiness with warming, nutty, and dried fruit accents. Look for these wonderful examples. Gomez Nevado, Equipo Navazos, Fernando de Castilla, and Valdespino. The Sedimentary Tasting Box. 1. Alice and Oliver de Moore, Aligote Plantation, 1902, Chablis, France, limestone. The smell of the ocean breeze. This wine stretches. It has long strides, but there's that bracing acidity that is felt at the side of the mouth. Yet it is still so ripe and lush, with a slightly grainy texture. 2. Alice and Oliver de Moore, Chablis Bel Air et Clardy, Chablis, France, limestone. Fresh, with the smell of Meyer lemon and a touch of flower, and I hate to admit it, but there's also some smoky flintiness. There's texture here. It's not plump, but there's a little give. The two de Moores hail from just meters away from one another, but here there's more limestone in the mix for the Chablis. This wine, as this is Chardonnay and not Aligoté, is broader, with less structure and a grainy texture. 3. Francis Boulard, Effy. Limoges Blanc de Noir, Champagne, France. Chalky limestone and clay. A gorgeous Blanc de Noir from 70% Pinot Meunier and 30% Pinot Noir. The nose has a voracious, creamy energy that is pure and direct, with a very ripe lime-like acidity. 4. François Chédain, Les Choisils, Mont-Louis-Saint-Noir, France, Tuffeau, Clay, and Silex. Chenin on limestone has this singing, passion fruit, yuzu-like quality hitting from the front to back. A touch of rhubarb, too, in the cooler vintages. Some sugars are usually left to balance out this acidity, and the finish is all about smoked salt with a grainy, tannic, crabapple skin quality. 5. Domaine Chandon de Brille, Sauvigné-le-Bon, or Pernod Vergelaise, Burgundy, France, limestone, and clay. Chardonnays from this part of Burgundy, on the border of Côte de Nuit and Dibon, have aromatics driven by aging and the work on the lees. The wine is really about a sour cream, yogurt-like quality with that acid tension very centered in the palate. The fat of some vintages may hide it, but in this wine, it is here and provides structure. When from old vines, the finish can remind you of reduced chicken broth. 6. Domaine Jean-François Ganeva, Les Grands Teppes, Vieille Vigne, Jura, France, red marl and gravel. Broad and boisterous up front, a rich Chardonnay that hides a fantastic acidity. The soil seems to give richness and tension at the same time. Definitely exotic, a touch of oxidation, a beast to tame and wait for it to lose its baby fat. 7. Domaine Charvin, Châteauneuf-du-Pape, Rhone Valley, France. Gravels. A blend of mostly Grenache with bits of Mourvèdre, Carignan, Syrah, and an ancient minor player, Vacarès. The vines are planted in clay and on a bed of galets roule, those smooth stones that were washed down from the Alps. This comes from a cooler section of the warm Châteauneuf region. There's more freshness to the wine. Still, it is powerful. This is a whole cluster fermentation in cement, and the wine gives full-on red fruit and sun, while the mid-palate is restrained, and the finish gives great, tea-like, ripe, licorice-like tannins. 8. Campi di Fonterenza, Rosso di Montalcino, Tuscany, Italy. Paper shale. The Sangiovese Grosso is picked from Francesca's goblet vines on rotted rock, paper shale soils, which they call galestro. The grapes are destemmed, vinified in stainless and Slavonian oaks, and then aged in that combination for 2 years. The result is textural, a heavy silk with touches of forest fruit and frank deliciousness. The acidity is heightened, similar to the Cubillo. 9. López de Heredia, Cubillo, Rioja, Spain, chalk and clay. The Tempranillo from chalk and high altitude shows such a different face than one than from land by the rivers. It has a dusty berry on the nose, with bramble and subtle fruits on the palate. The tannins are subtle, more like corduroy than sandpaper. Behind the fruit, there's this high note of acid that is very different from the López de Heredia wines from lower altitude and with less chalk in the soil. Aligoté, Chardonnay, and Chenot. Taste and compare. 3 grapes, similar families of bedrock limestone from different epochs, and all express their acids in different ways. Move on to the reds, Pinot Noir, Grenache, Sangiovese Grosso, and Tempranillo from benchmark producers and disparate climes. For fun, taste a Côte de Nuit of your choosing alongside the Savigny. For example, look for one of Amelia Berthaud's Domaine Berthaud Fixin, Les Crosses or Les Clos, and compare the textures. Acidity. This is a high-toned quality, very lifted, similar to orange or tangerine for ripe acids. Check if it is all in balance with the fruit, or does it knock the wine off its feet? Texture. In the mouth is the wine razor sharp, focused, and linear. Tannins. Are they round, soft, edgy, and rustic, or precise and just a touch chalky? Sedimentary quick reference. Where? France. Burgundy. Soils, limestone, clay. Climate, continental. Cold, wet winter, warm summer. Known for Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Aligoté. Where? France. Jura. Soils, limestone, clay. Climate, continental. Cold winter, warm summer. Known for Chardonnay, Sauvignon, Pulsar, Trousseau, Pinot Noir. Where? France, Touraine, Loire. Soils, limestone, clay, flint, alluvial. Climate, moderate, somewhere between Atlantic and continental, wet, mild. Known for Chenin, Sauvignon Blanc, Roma Rotin, Cabernet Franc, Pinot Noir, Côte, Grulot, Gamay, Pinot Donis. Where? France. Sancerre and Pouilly-Fumay. Soils, limestone, silex. Climate, moderate, wet, mild. Known for Sauvignon Blanc. Where? France. Bordeaux. Soils, limestone, clay, gravel. Climate, wet, oceanic influence. Known for Cabernet, Merlot, Petit Verdot, Malbec, Saint-Milon, Muscadel, Sauvignon Blanc. Where? Italy. Piemonte. Soils, limestone, sandstone. Climate, cold winters, warm summers, rain and fog. Known for Nebbiolo, Barbera, Dolcetto, Freisia, Rouquet, Grinolino. Where? Italy. Northwest Montalcino and Chianti. Soils, limestone, Galestro. Climate, warm, sunny. Known for Sangiovese Grosso. Where? Spain. Rioja. Alavesa Alta. Soils, limestone, sand. Climate, mixed oceanic and mountain influence. Warm, sunny, rain. Known for Tempranillo, Garnacha, Graciano, Mazzuello, Maturana, Tinta, Viura, Malvasia. Where? Spain. Jerez. Soils, chalk, diatomite. Climate, hot, Mediterranean, known for Palomino, Pedro Jimenez. Where? Slovenia. Primorska. Soils, limestone. Climate, continental with cold, wet winters. Known for Vitovska, Rebule Teran, Refoshk, Merlot, Malvasia. Where? Georgia. Imereti. Soils, limestone, clay. Climate, rainy, cool. Known for Çalıkkale, Tsitska, Oskenari, Saper. Where? Georgia. Kahedi. Soils, sandstone, limestone. Climate, hot, desert-like. Known for Sapera, Katsikan, Kishi. Where? USA. Santa Cruz, California. Soils, shale. Climate, hot and dry days, cool at night. Known for Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Cabernet. Where? USA. Santa Rita Hills, California. Soils, diatomite. Climate, hot and dry days, cool at night. Known for Pinot Noir, Chardonnay. Where? USA. Finger Lakes, New York. Soils, shale. Climate, cold winter, warm summer, rain. Known for Riesling, Chardonnay, Cabernet Franc, Pinot Noir.